Ramaya Rama Bhadraya Ramachandraya Vedase Raghunathaya Nathaya Sitaya Pateye Namaha. Sundarakand, chapter number 26. Sita in her grief continued. Thus did Lady Janaki lament most piteously, her eyes turned to her mother earth, whom she watered with her hot tears, and she of an age to enjoy everything in the shape of comfort and luxury. Then there came across her mind the memory of what she had been and what she was. The thought drove her almost to madness, like unto a man whose senses reeled under the influence of a strong drink, or one who was under a shapeless delusion, or a mare who, having been driven fast and furiously, now rolls upon the ground to seek relief. Even so did she find relief in easing her heart, surcharged with the dark grief. Alas, this wicked wretch is capable of taking any form at will through his magic arts. He threw a spell over Rama and Lakshmana. He used horrible threats to cow me down and carried me away by force. In the twinkling of an eye, he brought me away here from my far abode, and I calling up each and everything that I passed by to save me from him. Guarded most carefully by these cruel devils, my heart ever intent upon my Lord and my soul tottering under the cruel strokes of unspeakable grief, it is hard for me to keep my hold upon life. Why, the Prince of Heroes himself has given me up as lost. I see no call for me to linger in this world of men, to lead a life of wretchedness and agony in the midst of these demons. Gold and silver, gem and garments, comforts and luxuries, what have I to do with them? And this my heart that so bravely stands the buffet of that never-ending waves of sorrow, is it fashioned of flesh or granite? Or has it been ordained that it should last to the stroke of eternity? I see that it shows no signs of weakening or giving away. Am I justified in surviving the separation from my Lord and husband, even for the short space of an instant? The worlds above or below holds no one who could aspire to the heights of wickedness and sinfulness to which I have risen. There is not the slightest shadow of a doubt that the good and the great, the chaste and the faithful, would spit upon me as a thing of scorn and horror. Behold, my Lord is a supreme monarch of the sea-girt earth. His speech is ever soft and sweet and falls upon the hearts of men like the ambrosia of the gods. He is the life of my life. To live away from such a husband, to find delight in the arms of ease and luxury, what have I to do with it? So I decide that these rakshasis may work their will upon this miserable body of mine. It is infinitely better to put away this tainted body than to live away from the presence of my Raghuvira. I would not even dream of touching this wicked wretch of a Ravana with my left foot. And then to speak of my heart even harboring a traitorous thought of tenderness towards him. That cruel demon cares not to take into consideration my misery and suffering, but throws himself at my feet and inflicts his base lust upon me. Poor fool, knows he the untold contempt and horror that I feel towards him? The mean creature, what knows he of the noble race I come from and the greatness and glory of my real self? So pitiless devils that you are, you but waste your time and energies in thrusting upon me your repugnant advice. It is utterly useless to seek to coerce me by your taunts and threats. Here do I face you without the slightest tremor of fear. Chop me to mincemeat, throw your weapons at me, tear me to pieces with your fangs and talons. Burn me to cinder with your hellfires, but take it from me that I will not waste a glance at your Ravana. My Lord Raghunatha is the one that assiduously seeks for virtues, even in those that work him most cruel evil. He counts as infinite the least benefit ever rendered to him, be it in thought, deed, or word. His heart cannot bear the sight or memory of suffering. He has no other aim in life than to seek the highest good of others. He is the best well-wisher of everyone. These noble traits are not the result of a fond or partial love of a wife, but they are admitted even most reluctantly by his worst enemies. Why then should he put me away from his thought, and I tortured by these cruel fiends? It is plain, therefore, that I have put up no merit adequate enough to deserve such a consideration at his hands. For dare I harbor even a suspicion of his powerlessness to come to my aid? These eyes of mine were witness to that most wonderful scene when in a short space of a muhurta he laid low in battle dire the 14,000 Rakshasa heroes in Janasthana and the terrible Kara and Dushana who led them. What is it to him, the might of this Ravana who keeps me in cruel bondage? It is a child's play for Raghuvira to cut away the life threads of this sinful wretch. Did I not see how fared Viradha, the terrible giant, that other day in the forest of Dandaka? And is Lanka like unto a gem set in the silver sea? Is it beyond his reach? The countless worlds hold no spot that bar the course of the arrows of Rama. Why then does Raghunatha put up with this slur thrown upon his valor? The embattled hosts of his enemies dare not approach the consuming fire of his shafts. And a mean wretch of a Rakshasa to lay violent hands upon the wife most dear to his heart? It is simply unthinkable. Am I to infer that he knows not that I am here? Or his boundless mercy and tenderness of heart even unto his worst enemy, has it led him to forgive this Ravana? Why, even then, if it were so, Lakshmana will never be a party to it. Behold, the aged friend of King Dasharatha, who simply because Raghava left me in his keeping, fell upon Ravana as he was spiriting me away, and though tottering with age and weakness, he put up a dreadful fight with the mighty Rakshasa, and only succumbed to superior skill and strength. Alas! The only one who could ever give news about myself to Rama is no more. So I conclude that my Lord knows not of my whereabouts, for he would not stay until his arrows winged with his fiery wrath make this broad earth utterly innocent of their Rakshasa brood. He would scorch the waters of the broad and fathomless oceans, and this Lanka will be reduced to its primeval state. The time will have to blot out from its pages the name of Ravana and his Rakshasas. And lo, these cruel Rakshasis around me will wail and moan and weep and lament in every house, reft of their husbands, brothers and sons, even as I do now away from those dear unto me. This shall come about, and no doubt of it. No one has seen the bounds of their strength, the skill, the power, and might. The fates work with them to come upon the spot, and once they are here, these Rakshasis have seen their last days. No foe, none has ever lived to tell the tale of having come within their ken and escaped. Vultures and eagles and other foul birds of prey will gorge themselves unto repletion over the countless corpses that will hide this Lanka from view. The funeral pyres that rise from this condemned isle will make the city dark and impassable, and then this capital, now so great, so glorious, so magnificent and happy, will be one vast burning ground. Cruel devils that you are, see you not that your evil deeds come back to root and dog your footsteps? A short space of time and my heart's wishes will be fulfilled to the utmost. This town will blaze with every variety of dangerous portents and will fall unto ruins, its splendor and glory but a name. This Lanka, now unapproachable even in thought by foes, will, when this mean Ravana lies low, a headless corpse, shortly disappear from the face of this earth, even like unto a helpless girl whose husband has been torn away from her side by the cruel shafts of death. And its place shall fade away from the memory of man. With no king to rule over it, with no auspicious rites to ensure its safety, its men all dead, this Lanka will be a home of wailing Rakshasis, and it will be an eyesore in its widow's weeds of darkness and mourning. These ears of mine will at no distant time be pierced by the shrieks and screams of the Rakshasi girls in every homestead. The fiery arrows of Rama will fall here all around and drink the life breaths of the greatest and most glorious of the Rakshasas. This Lanka will be a blazing mass of ruins, and then a huge ball of frightful darkness and gloom will hide it from view. The moment that Raghuvira knows that I am kept here in Durin's vile by Ravana, these and much more will turn out a hard, solid, bitter fact. Do you doubt it? Only 2 more months are left of the time that Ravana has given to me. But you may say, it was only to strike terror into your heart and make you inclined towards him that he said so. Take it not too seriously. Well, is there any crime, any sin, any atrocity, any outrage that he's not up to? This Rakshasa to whom evil and sin are a second nature. So it is beyond the shadow of a doubt that a terrible danger hangs over the city, judging by the wicked and unrighteous lives led by its people. These friends who delight in human flesh and blood, what know they of the fine distinctions between virtue and vice? Ravana but waits for the day he has fixed to give his orders to me to be prepared for his breakfast as a choice delicacy. Alas, what shall I do? Torn from the arms of my Rama, whose graceful looks brings back to one the memory of a red lotus in bloom, and I gradually sinking beneath the waves of griefs unspeakable, how shall I get away from here? I shall set my feet on the shortest road that leads to the halls of death. If some kind soul hereabouts can get for me a dose of deadly poison, to me whom fates have denied the pleasure and privilege of serving my lord and husband. I am sure that Rama and Lakshmana know not that I am alive, else they would not have left one foot on this broad earth unsearched. So it may be that they waste no thought upon me as one dead and gone. Or might it be that my Rama has fallen a prey to the grief and misery of being separated from me? Then the Devas, Gandharvas, Siddhas and the sages will bless themselves with the sight of my Lord in heaven, my Rama of eyes lovely as the red lotus. Ah, thrice fortunate are they. Or maybe to a royal sage like Rama, a wife is not important, for he knows the mystery of things and has become one with the absolute. The highest virtue and duty is the only goal. It is sinful even to indulge in such a thought, for perfect ones in this mortal world take not upon themselves such bonds and responsibilities as these. But should they do so, they perform their duties most conscientiously. They never fall by the way. So shall I take it that he has forgotten me? I am far away from him, and many a month has gone by since he lost me. Out of sight, out of mind. Oh, fie, fie upon me. What a wretch I am to harbor such a foul thought. Only ungrateful creatures behave thus. But Rama, to whom it is a law of life to secure the happiness of those that seek refuge in him, even at the risk of his own life, dare I fasten upon him such esteem? So it is but a waste of time and energy to seek to accuse him. When I come to think of the fact that Rama, who loved me so greatly and has stood between me and everything unpleasant, has now clean forgotten me, I decide that it is due to faults in myself. So, if I rack my memory for the slightest offense or faults towards him in word, deed or thought and come upon none. So it must be my sinful deeds in past lives that have come to harvest now. They have blotted out my good days and placed me in the power of these strokes of misfortune. Death is welcome to a life of misery away from the presence of that patron of duty, of that holy terror of his foes, of that soul of magnanimity. So I cannot even assure myself that it is all ill luck. Or shall I guess that those noble souls have decided to put away their arms as they have been productive of so much misery and unhappiness to them and have elected to lead a life of penance and austerities and meditation as hermits or sages with fruits and roots their only sustenance? It cannot be even that, for a born Kshatriya cannot reconcile himself to meekly slink away and not exterminate the Rakshasas with whom he had sought a quarrel. Or has Ravana done away with them through his arts of illusion and hellish magic, even as he did the other day through the golden deer? Well, having lived to behold these miserable days, it is but a right retribution for me to seek death by every possible means. But I fear that even this sharp-toothed grief has no power to gnaw at the roots of my life. What? Am I so dreadful, so horrible that even death shuns me? Now, reason and calm reflection are the only antidotes to this overmastering sorrow of mine. What avails it? The life of men who are under the spell of ignorance. Love and hate, the children of good and evil, have no power over those great souls who went through their duties in life without a thought of any return and endowed with a chastened intellect and reason resulting therefrom, retired into the deepest and undisturbed samadhi and crossed to the other shores of love and hate, sin and sorrow. Everything unlikely, inauspicious and sinful dare not approach the consuming fire of their utter purity. Their hearts know no pang at being separated from the objects dear to them. Their hearts know no pang at being associated with what is not to their liking. My heart goes out in absolute reverence to those great ones who have put away desire and hatred from themselves. They are the perfect men. Is it given to me to be like them any day? Raghuveera, my heart's delight has pierced into the innermost mysteries of joy and sorrow, and he, the life of my life, has elected to put me away. I am in the cruel grip of the sinful wretch of a Ravana, and why should I soil myself with a death at his unclean hands, when there is a way open to me to seek it by any other means? Mangalam Koshalendraya Mahaniya Gunapteye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.